Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom. Excuse me, questions, answers, comments, shares, and whatever else true creative essence shapes itself into. Okay, here is our first one from, I apologize if I mispronounce it, but it looks like Sanjula, something like that. And then I can see here later on, she refers to herself, I think, as Anja, I'm going to say Anya. Forgive me, please, if I got these wrong. It's tricky sometimes with getting these things from all over the world. Here we go. Anya has looked at all material, so she's been through the entire experience. Dear Robert, first a movie tip. Cafe with Jennifer Love Hewitt. The whole movie plays in a coffee shop with lots of different characters. To one of them appears a young girl on his laptop telling him that he and the others are just avatars created by her. At the end of the film is a conversation where she says, if you end the game, in the case of the movie by free choice, you are not bound to the game anymore and are free. I found it similar to what you are pointing to. I'm going to stop there. I've never heard of that movie, although I certainly know who Jennifer Love Hewitt is, so I will look that up. Thank you for the referral. Continuing, looks like another movie, maybe. It's called The Journey. This is long for all the story lovers, smiles. As background info, and even if it is only mind machine and stories, it gives you stuff to talk about your teaching, as I like to listen to it. Smiles, and this will be my last call I can attend, or you can skip down to questions. Okay, I'm not quite sure what that means, but okay, if you want to come back and clarify, Anya, that's fine. Otherwise, I'm not clear whether the journey is just talking about this whole journey through the cloud cover into ultimate freedom in phase three. If you're talking about, I think maybe now that's what it is, but anyway. And I don't know what last call I can attend means. If you mean that the Q&A area is going to close down. Okay. And there is the option to continue having access to Q&A as well as getting other benefits through what's called the Amethyst program. You can check with the office if you haven't already gotten a link to that. But that is an option for continuing for you and everyone else listening if you want to. Okay, continuing. This character's journey started with 14. Anya was suffering under severe depression and an eating disorder. She wanted to be free of herself, not even really knowing what this means. Therapy started with 19. With 28, she made a clean cut with her father and then wanted to set her life and end. Not as a help call. If then she wanted to be sure it's really over. So before calling it a final, she decided to give life one more last chance. And immediately, like several hours after this decision, a spiritual father figure appeared in her life. This is an interesting story in itself. Anya was born as an extreme empath, suffered under exhaustion and environmental sensitivity since birth, but with a lot of willpower made it through school, university, and finally working as a social worker with youth in difficult milieus. With 30, after a suicide of one of her at-work kids, she had to stop working as a social worker, diagnosed with chronic exhaustion. She left everything behind and went to India to sit with her master and became Sanjula. Again, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. The next 10 years, she spent every winter in India in different ashrams with different masters. She also took trainings in lots of different therapeutic and healing modalities. In this 10 years in India, in times of intense meditation, twice an experience happened which felt like in the never-ending story by Michael Ende, I think, E-N-D-E. When the nothingness comes rolling in and everything crumbles away into it. This scared her so much that she packed her stuff and ran back to Goa, throwing herself into party life. Ha ha. In her story, she learned she is built as a slow learner, so it took many, many years, lots of laughs, to get more and more out of her mind into her body, especially when intense fear, pain happened. To be in the moment, to feel where the energy movement is going, etc. At some point, she dropped into absolute bliss, peace, and expansion. Feeling it fade away after 3 months and losing it again was horrible. 2 years later, she described nothing. The described nothingness with a capital N got her. She dropped into question marks. It felt like no self anymore. This body slash receiver of sensation still existed. There was only the here and now, sound, taste, feeling on skin, etc. If mind tried to look forward or backwards, there was nothing, only blackness. No light, no bliss, no sound, nothing. Although there was a sensation as if self is not there anymore, mind and all its data was still there. Question mark. Mind knew this body's name and all its story, and mind was in absolute panic, not understanding what is happening. This experience was judged as horrible. After again 3 months, I came back again. What a relief. Mind still does not know what to make out of this. After a very clear experience in satsang of this body inside of me, this character realized that it is still holding on to this body. Everything else had not much relevance anymore. Her health had deteriorated more and more, and she dived head on into the body game. Complete breakdown in 2003, followed by 2 years being bedridden, 5 years housebound. In those years from 2003 to 2013, she used her tools every day, 1 to 3 hours on herself. She did not quite make it to the 24 hours, was too exhausted. Lots of laughs. I'm thinking she's meaning the four busting loose phase two tools, but I'm not positive. Finding lots of eggs, doing lots of guided tours, knocking out lots of cloud cover. A couple of years ago, the Busting Loose book came to her. She liked it, but then another tool appeared strong in her story, which she then used extensively for herself and for her clients. She started to give a few sessions a week 8 years ago. Beginning last year, a shift happened. Body game and working game still happens, but there is no fuel, passion, question mark behind it anymore. A strong feeling of, I have no idea what to be here, for do here in this life anymore, comes in waves since then. End of last year, your newsletter, connecting with old subscribers, reached her. She listened to all your podcasts, did the journey to the infinite, and then decided to jump into Ultimate Freedom. She is through with Ultimate Freedom, Keys to Happiness, Q&A Archive. Question. She definitely has the experience that things just happened in her life, and the daily energies move her. She calls it life is happening through me. She often did not know if she would spend the next season in India when things happened, like walking down a street and her body suddenly pulled into a travel agency. Then she knew, okay, we are going to India again. Or when she needed new cloth, she made the experience when she decided with her head to go shopping. It was like walking through mud. She did not find what she was looking for. It was exhausting and unpleasant. But if she waited till the energy carried her, maybe 3 months later, she felt, today I like to go shopping. Then it was a joyous experience. She always found what she needed, and mostly some bonus happy event like street artist or something happened. Same with work, trying to make things happen, create a flyer, etc. If the energy is not there to do it, it's like standing in quicksand. So to this character, it still appears as if there is at least the individual choice of letting go and follow the flow, so to speak, or flight and resist in trying to override it with the mind power. There is an overall theme and story happening, but in this story, there seems to be a flexibility, a range of movement of choice. At least it feels like it. Same with feelings. Allowing to dive into the feeling and experience it, which always my experience brought relief, not necessarily resolution, but relief, maybe because of the zooming out and watching effect, or fighting slash resisting it, zooming in equals intensification. This character wondered if true creative essence, which has free choice, zooming into the experience, forgetting who it is in the immersion, curious to make the experience, might also pull back when having painful sensations. This character wondered because it is still not in a place to find deep pain, emotional or physical, delicious, as you describe, even when zooming out and just watching. As this character was built to experience very intense things, go through very dark times and feel very intensely, it now happens that she can go with people in a session into deep, dark stuff. So she does have a glimpse of what you might mean with delicious when she feels other people's pains and traumas, more distance. It is so touching and heart-opening to her. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I don't see a question here yet, but I just want to clarify a couple of things here. Might true creative essence pull back when having painful sensations? Remember, and it's hard to put this into language, it's impossible to put it into language without appearing to cause collisions or disconnects or conflicts with things that have been said. So understand, we're using imperfect language to try to point to truth with a capital T. There's true creative essence that shapes itself into a character that has experiences, while true creative essence, total immersion, reads the story of that character that's been written, that it has shaped itself into. So given that in a story, a character can have painful sensations and pull back from them in phase one, in phase two, even in phase three, but in a different way, because they're too intense, they're too scary, they're too overwhelming, whatever. But, and here's where the language gets tricky, but true creative essence does not ever say, oh, I'm going to shape myself into this particular thing, and then it shapes itself into the character experiencing these quote-unquote painful sensations and then goes, whoa, as true creative essence here, not the character. That's too much. I need to stop. I need to stop shaping myself into these sensations. I need to pull back. This is too much for me. Me meaning true creative essence. No, that doesn't happen. It actually rarely happens when we're reading novels or watching movies, although it can. We can be reading a novel, we can be watching a movie, and there can be something that happens that's really painful, and we hit the pause button if it's a DVD or something. We close our eyes, you know, whatever else it is. But in general, as you've heard me say, when you read a great novel, watch a great movie, but a great novel's a better metaphor, it doesn't matter what kind of a painful sensation, so to speak, or painful experience or traumatic, whatever the character is having, as the reader, we feel, we experience fully, but then the story continues, and again, we don't name it, we don't judge it, so it's a very different experience. And here, if I'm understanding your question correctly, true creative essence does not ever get overwhelmed or say, this is too painful, I need to stop it or get out of here, although a character can. And when you say, even when zooming out and just watching, again, words don't serve here, but my experience of ultimate freedom is not that you detach. It's not that distance is created between the total immersion reader and what's being read. It's just there couldn't be, you know, a more deeply immersed experience with ultimate freedom awake. Total immersion reading is total immersion reading. It's not disconnected, detached reading. So you're never just watching. But the relationship is different to it. If you're reading a really great novel and you're really riveted by it and you're really caught up in the story, you're not just watching what's happening. Same thing with a movie, but it's different. That's why I think a novel is so much of a better and more accurate metaphor. It's not a detached experience when you're reading. You're not just watching. You're fully involved. And with total immersion reading, you're thinking everything the hero is thinking, feeling everything, all the sensations, everything in story space. So it can seem like it's just watching, it can seem like it's detached, it can seem like there's a distance, but my bias is that's not what really happens. But there's no way to talk about it without the language appearing to make it seem like that. And so she does have a glimpse of what you might mean with delicious. Again, it's a tricky thing because the point is to experience what the character experiences. And as I talked about, and this again gets tricky and it's complicated and hard to describe with language, is that in phase three, with ultimate freedom awake, there's always two options. There's always two possibilities. And they can rotate, they can come in stages and in phases or whatever. One is things that used to be perceived as negative or bad, unpleasant, painful, difficult, whatever, can disappear. And you just never experience anything like that anymore. Everything is welcome. Everything is enjoyed. Everything is delicious, no matter how big, how quote-unquote zoomed, overwhelming, you know, whatever, how you might have described it before, no matter how painful you might have described it before, just doesn't happen anymore. Or it happens, but total immersion reading it is a different experience. And again, this is where language gets really difficult, because what I'm about to say will make it seem like there is a detachment and there is a distance and there isn't. When you are reading a novel and you're really riveted by it and you become the character or you're the hero or you're very identified with the hero and the hero's angry or the hero is scared or the hero is feeling pain, you feel scared, you feel pain, you feel all these things, and you feel that the character in the story is perceiving them as negative, unpleasant, painful, whatever. But as the reader, your relationship to it's different. And so again, here's where word doesn't serve, but your experience as the reader is not, oh my God, I'm in this horrible pain and please make it stop. Now, again, there can be scenes in a novel that are particularly whatever, and there are exceptions to this. But in general, even with most of those, my bias, it just isn't perceived that same way. Again, there's a movement of energy. There's awareness of it. There's awareness of the fact that the hero in the story is experiencing anger, frustration, trauma, great loss, pain, whatever. But your experience as the reader is very different, and that's what I mean. And that's the experience, that no matter what it is, and again, this happens so much with novels, and it happens to a slightly different degree, not as rich, not as accurate with a movie or a TV show, but delicious is just my word for how true creative essence is feeling about absolutely everything that happens. And again, very, very similar to what's happening in a novel. It doesn't matter what the thought is. It doesn't matter what the emotion is, the characteristics of it. Big, small, fast, sharp, whatever. It doesn't matter how you would have once labeled it. Excitement, depression, anger, frustration, joy, peace, doesn't matter. It's all perceived as whatever word you want to use, pleasurable, welcome, interesting, fascinating, enjoyable, whatever, it doesn't matter. And that is something to my bias that comes with ultimate freedom, fully awake. Although, again, you as the total immersion reader, you as true creative essence, total immersion reading a story, can still be aware that you're total immersion reading a story about a character who thinks something bad's happening, who's feeling pain, emotional or physical. But as the total immersion reader of that, it's very different than the way it was for us in phase one when it was personal, it was us, it really was pain, it really was this or that. It's a very different experience. Okay, continuing. So she dived in and asked, in a situation of discomfort, who was resisting? And it appeared to indeed be the mind, not true creative essence, but all her experiences, feelings, and sensations could be interpreted by mind in so many different ways that she wonders how you know with such a certainty that there is no free will happening whatsoever, that every blink of an eye is written in stone. Okay, I'm going to stop there. The way that you know that, and you put a capital K, which means know the truth of it, is because you experience it. You get into a truthful, bear with the language, truthful with a capital T relationship with what's happening. You're able to see what's actually happening when free will appears to be happening, when a choice appears to be happening, where you appear to have control or the ability to make a choice or whatever, and you're able to, I'm just going to use the word see with a capital S, which is not detached and is not distanced and is not disconnected, fully immersed, but you're able to see that that's what's going on. You're able to actually experience the truth that a decision is being made, that an idea has come through and is being acted upon, you know, a choice is being made, whatever it is, but it's all happening and you're total immersion reading it. If you're reading a novel And you're on page 256, the mythical page 256, and a character appears to make a choice, appears to have free will. On some level, you know, you believe in the moment that the character made the choice, had the free will, but you know at a deeper level that it's a fictional character, it's really the author. You know that's exactly what's going on because you experience the truth. You know the truth of what's going on. A similar kind of thing happens. It's not an idea or a concept or a theory or a philosophy. You just have an actual experience of the fact that all of this stuff is just happening, and you're aware of it, my language, as the total immersion reader. You have an experience of it. And it drops from idea, concept, theory, and philosophy into experience, and once that happens, end of the game. There's no more debate about what's true, what's not true, is this accurate, is this inaccurate, is there really free will or not. You've experienced that there's not. And there can still be some mental noise from time to time until that locks in, lack of a better term, but the experience with a capital E of the truth, with a capital T, blows away all the mind stuff about it and the speculation and the doubts and the what about this and I was taught that and all that kind of stuff. Continuing. Sanjula is aware that there is the fear of letting go completely of the driver's wheel and running the bus into disaster. So the question of the mind slash the protector is how can you, Sanjula, really, really know that this is all not real but only a pre-written story? Before you do not know with absolute certainty, is it too dangerous to let go of the wheel completely? So how does absolute knowing happen? What does it feel like? Again, Sanjula, this is so tricky because, yes, I know, I get it, I've been there, I've experienced this, I know exactly what you're talking about and the other people that bring this up. There isn't any Sanjula who is holding on to any wheel who can choose to let go of the wheel or not. That's a pure illusion. That's a pure story. It's the magic trick that we talk about in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings. And so there's no choice to let go of the wheel completely or not. You never had the wheel. You were never holding it. You were never steering. And the story is unfolding the way the story is unfolding, just like a novel does. You turn the pages and you read what the writer wrote, and that's what happens, and stuff happens. The story moves relentlessly on in the way that it was written. You know. It's not a theory, it's not a philosophy. When you're reading a novel, you know, you have absolute certainty of the fact that you are not driving the bus, that you cannot affect the character, that you're not making anything happen in the novel, that you can't change it, all you can do is experience what's been written. You have absolute certainty that that's the truth of it. All I can tell you is a similar kind of certainty appears as it relates to you and being the total immersion reader, true creative essence, total immersion, reading your story, there's absolute certainty of that that locks in. How does it happen? It just happens. True creative essence starts to shape itself into different things in inner space, different things in story space, different kinds of experiences. Now, again, remember, when you're reading a great novel that you're really riveted by, that you really love, you know. Now, again, words don't serve here. It's kind of hidden. It's kind of buried. It's kind of beneath the surface. But you know for a fact at every second that it's fiction. It's not real. The character, the hero, isn't really suffering. They didn't really just get da-da-da-da happen. You know that for a fact. You know it's just a story. But you suspend that knowing. You allow things to be real, just real enough so that you can enjoy the story, have the thoughts, feelings, sensations, and experiences of the story that is what makes reading so enjoyable to the people that read. So there's an absolute awareness of the truth. An author wrote this. I have no control. It's fictional. Anything a character happens to say or do or think or feel was put there by the author. There's absolute knowing with a capital K and certainty of that, but it's suspended. And it's allowed, everything's allowed to seem real. The same thing happens. In the same mysterious, kind of hidden, suspended, or whatever, there's absolute knowing and certainty at every second that it's an illusion, it's not real, it's a story. It's true creative essence shaping itself into characters, inner space, story space, everything that's happening in order to experience a total immersion human story. There's absolute certainty of that. And at the same time, knowing of that, and at the same time, It is allowed to appear real enough, more real sometimes than others, to really enjoy the story. And other than that, there's nothing else I can say. It's the kind of a thing that just has to be experienced, and it just happens. You know, if you go back to what I talked about as my story on day three, there was the old way of looking at things. There was the old way of experiencing things. There was thinking that Robert was an individual. There was thinking to some degrees. A lot of that got dynamited with the phase two busting loose teachings. But there was still programming in the mind machine that Robert had power and Robert had skill and Robert could choose and Robert could do and all of that. And through all these crazy things, so to speak, that happened in True Creative Essence, the truth virus doing its work, True Creative Essence shaping itself into different things, this total immersion reader dynamic, this knowing and certainty of the truth with a capital T, surfaced, appeared, dominated everything. Again, words don't serve, but it just happened. It all just awakened not one day, but you know, over that journey, it awakened more and more and more and more. Again, started out sleepy, fell back asleep, woke up, fell back asleep, up for longer periods of time using that metaphor until it just locked in. And what does it feel like? Again, it feels almost identical to what happens when you're really riveted by a great novel, except it's total immersion. Continuing, Sanjula enjoyed your unique way of language, metaphors, and pointers, and it definitely added to her story an interesting spin and slightly adjustment of direction. She is not sure that one human mind can comprehend and language the truth. She would question that, her bias, but for sure it is very interesting what you are pointing to. She is very curious where this added information to her story will lead her. She enjoyed the discussions in the Q&As very much. What a pity, pity, pity that it is over. Okay, Amethyst is out of budget. It is 3 months now on the 19th. Hope your answer to this email is still reaching this character, as Friday is the 19th already. Thank you for the ride. Enjoyed it very much. Maybe our ways cross again. Lots of love from Germany. Sanjula. Okay, well, perhaps something will change and Amethyst will become in budget in the future if that's what's been written. In the meantime, my suggestion is, if you haven't already, make sure you download all the Q&A audios from the archive and all the videos and stuff from the main program, because odds are very strong that if time passes and you go back and you re-listen to those audios, this audio, go through the course again at some other point, that it will appear different. There'll be things that you'll see with a capital S that you didn't before. Things will click in, light bulbs will go off that didn't before, and it'll almost be a completely different kind of an experience. So that would be my invitation to you. And on that note, that's all I feel motivated to share on this particular question, so let's move on to the next one. Okay, the next submission this week is from Sherry, who has been through Ultimate Key to Freedom twice. By the way, I've got some water here, so if you happen to hear a pause and maybe a sound like I'm drinking, that's what it is. This is a share for how Ultimate Freedom is beginning to show up in the quote-unquote Sherry story. When the character, quote-unquote, works to fulfill a desire and it doesn't happen, quote-unquote, she is not so disappointed. Over the past few months, she uses transformational vocabulary here, but I'm not going to read any more quotes. I just know that she's doing that, which, again, I'm a big supporter of. Over the past few months, she felt more resigned than disappointed, but this isn't happening as much either. Instead, she feels more interested to see what TCE will create next. Although the significant areas of her life continue to not be what she would choose, she notices and appreciates moments of play and surprise that True Creative Essence writes into the story. Her character doesn't feel the quote-unquote joy that came when Ultimate Freedom awakened in Robert's storyline, and the pages continue to turn. Okay, all of this is wonderful. Bear with the language, Sherry. This is all progress. None of this surprises me. Remember, it's a journey. It unfolds over time. It unfolds as a story, with twists and turns, moments that you would have once called and may still be aware of a character feeling difficult, challenging, confusing, or whatever. But this, again, is huge progress. It's actually extremely quick, even though I know it doesn't seem like it to you in terms of when you went through Ultimate Freedom, how old you are, how long things were experienced in one another way. The one thing I want to push on here, her character doesn't feel the quote-unquote joy that came when Ultimate Freedom Awakened in Robert's storyline. That, to me, to my bias, is Mind Machine noise, and it's pure nonsense. And what it is that the Mind Machine has a definition of what quote-unquote joy is that came when Ultimate Freedom Awakened in Robert's storyline. It's got some definition. It's buzzing and worrying and observing what's appearing in Sherry's story. And it's saying, oh, well, the definition of the joy that was in Robert's story, that's not what I'm seeing, so I'm not feeling that. And it's just a mind game. It's just noise. The other thing I want to invite you to remember along those lines is the thing I narrated is my story. This I've said this before. You may recognize this if you've been following the archives. The part of it where Ultimate Freedom Awakened was a three and a half, something like that, year period. And many movements of energy that we call emotion surfaced in the 3 years. Many things surfaced after Ultimate Freedom Awakened. Many different things continue to surface now. There isn't any one thing that you might call joy that came when Ultimate Freedom Awakened in Robert's storyline. Now, maybe you're referring to experiencing emotions without names and judgments, and that's what you're calling quote-unquote joy. That definitely did awaken in Robert's storyline, and if that's what you mean, I'm still saying the same thing. The mind machine is still has a definition. It's made up because it's the mind machine's opinion of joy, quote unquote, that appeared in Robert's story. Probably isn't accurate if we were to get into a discussion of it, but maybe it is. And if it is, it's just experiencing the movements of energy without names or judgments or labels. If that's the definition, then that's an accurate definition. If that has not appeared in the Sherry story, although, again, my feeling is it has appeared, it just isn't consistent. And so the mind machine is discounting it and is focusing on the times when it's not there and is focusing on the times that it wants it, on the fact that it wants it to be there all the time, and because it isn't there all the time, that's not good. I'm waiting for the moment. I'm wanting the moment when it is, kind of a thing. Now, I don't know. I'm speculating here because you didn't say she's not experiencing pure raw experience of movements of energy without stories or labels or judgments. You said joy in quotes. So again, there's not one flatline movement of energy called joy or bliss or whatever piece that's consistent in the Robert story. There's all kinds of different movements of energy that are experienced, wide variety. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes there's a lot of things. And then when there are a lot of things or there are movements, there are lots of them. They're very unique. It's not one flat line something, I wouldn't say, except my definition of true happiness, as you know, is experiencing the wide variety of emotions, the pure raw experience of them, without names, labels, or judgments. In that sense, then in the Robert story, there is happiness, joy all the time, if that's the definition. If the definition is there's one particular movement of energy that has one set of unique circumstances that we would once call joy or happiness or whatever, then that's not accurate. And that is not what tends to happen, although it could, on this journey. So thanks for the share again, Sherry. I've been there, done that. I get it. I understand the profound impatience that mind machines can have because I was a pro at that. And if you really look at this, if you look at how old you are, how many years you've been trying to what I call change, fix, and improve your life, how many things have failed, all these other kinds of things, and then you look at how much has changed in a relatively short period of the time since experiencing ultimate freedom. It's a miracle. There's major progress, gigantic change, major transformation, but it's easy to poo-poo it and minimize it if the mind machine buzzes and whirs and matches it up, what's happened against what it wanted to happen, what it's hoping to happen. Again, as we've talked about before, if it's measuring it against how many of the bad things have disappeared or now can be experienced as not bad, then it's a distorted thing and it's different. But when I look at what's narrating and the kind of things you talked about here, I see, lack of a better term, gigantic progress, gigantic change, amazing transformation, miraculous transformation. But again, I understand how easy it is to minimize it and ignore it and focus on the other things that still don't appear to be perfect. Okay, great. Thanks for the share, Sherry. I'm sure you're going to continue to notice big differences rolling out in the Sherry story as time passes. Okay, let's see what's next. This next one is from Diane. Finished all Ultimate Freedom Experience videos. Hi, Robert. I so enjoyed the Ultimate Freedom Experience. After letting the material marinate for a bit, I'm noticing that this is feeling like the trap of spiritual bypassing. Very interesting book on the subject by Robert Augustus Masters. I'm going to stop there for a minute. To me, what you're saying there is, after letting the material marinate for a bit, I'm noticing, to me, what you're saying here, and it'll be interesting to see as we continue through your share and question whether there's more of this or it's confirmed or whatever. What that means to me is the mind machine went through a major buzz whir after going through the material. It is considering the material at the purely idea and concept level. And what you're calling marinate for a bit means the mind machine was buzzing and whirring, asking its questions about all these kind of things, trying to come up with a conclusion for significance, meaning how all of this fits into other stuff that's in its database, other books that it's aware of, other things, and then it outputs what you're saying. A trap of spiritual bypassing and probably some other things that are coming. So understand, no judgment, there's no problem with this. It's not bad. It's quite common. I'm just shining the light of truth on it. This is mind machine noise. It's buzz whir. It's idea concept dance. And that's interesting, and that can go on endlessly. But ultimately, if transformation with a capital T is the goal, if ultimate freedom awakening is the goal, bear with the language, it has to, as you've heard me say recently, drop from idea concept and idea concept dance into actual experience of, oh, this is what's actually happening with my thoughts, so to speak. This is what's actually happening with emotions appearing in inner space. This is what's actually happening with sensations and getting into a truthful with a capital T relationship with everything instead of thinking about it and the mind machine endlessly buzzing and whirring and kicking out its database conclusions, which includes comparing and things like you're talking about here with the spiritual bypassing. To me, this is classic buzzword of the mind machine. And in here a little bit is, I am noticing that this is feeling like, which is like, I, Diane, this is what I, Diane, think. And no, it's not. This is the output of a machine. It's the Diane story. Diane is the hero, the heroine in the story. But it's being total immersion read, and there's awareness of the output of the mind machine. But it's not Diane. It's not what Diane thinks. It's not Diane's opinion. It's pure buzzword of the mind machine. Okay, continuing. I'm true creative essence playing a character, and whatever is coming up in inner space is energy. I notice the quote-unquote drama of the character, but I don't get sucked in. Just as it would be when I read a book. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Like I said earlier, you do get sucked in very often when you're reading a great book. You do get sucked in very often when you're watching a great movie. Even when a human story is being total immersion read, when ultimate freedom is totally awake, you still get sucked in. Or can. You may not, but you can accept total immersion reading about a character that's completely sucked into something, totally identifying with, merging with, total immersion, thinking, feeling, having sensations of the character, forgetting who you really are in that moment, that can still happen. That's a delicious experience. That's what true creative essence, in a sense, is doing it all the time. Again, it's not distance, it's not disconnect, it's not watching. So I have to push on that a little bit because it's not quite accurate. You may have meant something else, but my bias is there are things definitely that the character doesn't get sucked into, that there isn't an appearance in inner space of lies, illusions, and stories being completely hypnotic and mesmerizing and thinking you're the individual and all. There are certainly things that the Robert character used to get sucked into, to use your language, that doesn't appear in the story anymore, but it could, It has from time to time. It does when we're reading great novels, and it does and will in the stories of a lot of characters, even with Ultimate Freedom Awake, except total immersion reading, no matter what's appearing, no matter how immersed in it we may be, bear with the language, it's still a very different experience. Continuing. It's not that I don't buy or that it feels wrong to me. It simply lacks juice to me. It feels disconnected. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That is the mind machine kicking out a purely analytical, intellectual idea and concept opinion. There's no experience in there at all. The mind machine, lack of a better term, is thinking about this. It's analyzing this. It's skimming along the idea and concept level of it, bringing in some other things like the spiritual bypassing and stuff, and it's just pure mind machine buzzword noise. And I understand totally how from a purely idea, concept, intellectual level, this has come up multiple times on this audio, it could feel like it would be disconnected, but it's not. The actual experience of it, not the thoughts about it, not the analysis of it, not the buzzing and worrying about it, but the actual experience of it could not be further from the truth that it's disconnected, detached, muffled, lacks juice. But definitely from the idea, concept, analytical, intellectual perspective, I totally see how it could seem that way. But that's not what the actual experience is like. Couldn't be further from the truth, from what has appeared in the Robert story and the other stories I'm aware of where ultimate freedom is awakening or has awakened. And when this moves for the Diane character away from buzzword, intellect, analysis, thinking about it, whatever you want to call it, to actually experiencing the things that are talked about, this won't come up, and there won't be an appearance anymore of this isn't so cool, this lacks juice, this seems empty, whatever else it is, although there certainly can be stages along the way where it seems that way. Continuing, the thought that came to mind while watching the videos, now again, I'm going to stop there, understand, the thought that came to mind, what does that mean? That means the mind machine was watching the videos, it was buzzing and worrying, and at various points, whether it was a voice or it was a whatever, a thought ball or whatever else, popped into inner space, making an observation, a comment, a buzz, whir, output about what was going on. So again, and you're aware of it as the total immersion reader, but it's not Diane's opinion, it isn't necessarily accurate or true, it's just the output of a machine that you're aware of. Having said that, let's continue. While watching the videos, was that you seemed quite calm with not a whole lot of emotion. This is not a judgment, merely an observation. I'm going to stop there again. Again, buzzword. I want to share two things with this, and it's interesting because in different ways this has come up a lot in the last week. So in different ways in the Robert story. So what I can tell you, number one, is at his most, let's call it neurotic and screwed up, just so that you know what I'm talking about, there were still times that the Robert character was quite calm in situations when other people weren't, you know, particularly if something difficult, traumatic, scary, disaster kind of a thing happened. But there definitely is an appearance of what you would call, it's a story. I don't see it that way. I don't label it or judge it or call it that anymore. But there definitely are times, if we accept that judgmental language for a minute, when Robert was not calm, that Robert is calm. But what I can tell you is my experience of being on stage and teaching that experience and sharing all of that, there was a whole lot of emotion going on inside throughout the entire experience, which is also what happens a lot in the Robert story now. Now, again, if you look at a body of water, which is a really good metaphor for comparing to emotion, there are times that the water appears to be still as glass. Doesn't appear to be moving at all. It is, but it appears to be still as glass. There are times that there are little ripples. The water appears to be moving a little bit. There are times that there are bigger waves, and there are times after a storm or something else, you know, something in nature, in the environment, you know, where there are huge waves or tidal wave kinds of things that come from other kinds of forces. So if you compare the water to the movement of emotion, there are times where in inner space, the movement of emotion appears to be so slow that it doesn't appear to be that much is happening, and you might call that calm. And then there are times where there's movements of varying kinds that appear to be bigger, faster, sharper, whatever. Again, for the in the Robert story, there's no names or judgments or anything anymore. I'm just aware of these unique movements, and they're all welcome and pleasurable, if you want to call it that. I've addressed that before. But there's not a lack of emotion in the Robert story. It's not a flat line of nothing. It's not that it used to be so rich with emotion in phase one and phase two, and now there's none and it's kind of empty. That, again, is a mind machine buzzword. And the interesting thing about that, because there have been a lot of times, I'd say in the last 5 years, when someone has said something like that to me, and I thought to myself, no, really, there was a lot of emotion going on inside of me at that time when they told me that I looked so whatever. And so at the time, I thought I was thinking about it, you know, so bear with the language. What appeared is, why are people thinking that there isn't any emotion going on, or that I'm not happy, or that I'm this or that, when that's not my experience at all? And what I realized was, if you go back to the Robert story and about being invisible, and, you know, if I just am simply present, I'm a problem. If I express myself at all, I'm a bigger problem. And if I really express myself, world will blow up, huge consequence kind of a thing. And you look at what happened in the Robert story as a result, what went into the mind machine to try to survive that was be as invisible as possible and give away as little as possible about what's going on with you. And so very often, this was quite fascinating to me when I first saw it. It may be to you too, I don't know. You, Diane, or other people listening, that translated into, I wasn't aware of it consciously until, you know, Ultimate Freedom awakened or during the period in which it was awakening. Keep the face as, I don't know what word to use, flat, devoid of emotion, giving away as little as possible, like the idea of a poker face. When you're playing poker and you don't want to give anything away, if you've got a good hand, so you try to keep your face as unexpressive as possible. That was part of the mind machine Robert strategy for not making waves and not trying to be safe and not having problems. And I realized that that continued and sometimes still does without me being aware of it. Although when I watch myself on the videos that I'm creating now, at the time of this recording, which is middle of June 2015, I'm in the process of completely redoing my website and everything that goes with it, including redoing lots of videos. It's going to take me a while, and some of the old videos are going to stay there. But to me, there are times where the face, the Robert face, is still expressionless and flat, even though my experiences of very rich emotions as I'm narrating what I'm doing, talking about what I'm doing, having the experience as it was on stage in Sedona when the videos were done. And then there are times that the Robert face is much more expressive, and I'm noticing that that old program is starting to wane. And Robert's voice and Robert's face and Robert's body language and everything else is all starting to be much more whatever, free-flowing, dynamic, demonstrative, whatever, as the residue of that old program. So anyway, I just wanted to add that. But Ultimate Freedom Awakening, where the Robert story is now, if anything, if you want to use judgmental language, it's more rich with emotion than it was before. There's not a devoid. There's nothing valuable that's missing. There's nothing that used to be rich that's now flat and empty. Couldn't be more opposite to what's actually being. Okay, continuing. It seemed a far cry from the Phase 2 teaching videos in which you appeared to be quite expressive. Okay, there were still always times when I was on stage that I was more expressive than other times. And so Phase 2 teaching videos, I don't know if you're talking about Journey to the Infinite or Masters of Light or whatever, but certainly that varied. Anyway, what I can tell you is, no matter what the mind machine buzzed and whirred and kicked out, and my guess is, could be wrong, my guess is if we were to survey 1,000 people who watched the Ultimate Freedom videos of me in Sedona there, or talk to the people that were actually in the audience, and we took a poll and we said, how many of you think that Robert was not expressive and seemed kind of calm or flat or not a whole lot of emotion as he was presenting? I think we'd find that this is a somewhat unique perspective in the Diane story. I could be wrong on this. There'd probably be other people that would say that, but many other people that would say no. In fact, to me, he was a lot more expressive than he used to be. And whatever. Okay, continuing. It occurs to me, I'm going to stop there. When you say it occurs to me, what you're really saying is the mind machine is buzzing and whirring and kicking the following conclusion into inner space that I'm aware of. You're saying it occurs to me, but what's actually happening, my bias is the mind machine is buzzing and whirring, still skimming along idea and concept of what it I was aware of in the videos and still kicking out conclusions about it. That to me is what's likely to follow here after that introduction to the sentence is, again, this is another buzzword at the idea and concept level. We'll see when we see how you continue. Okay. It occurs to me that the ultimate freedom teachings are very masculine in that they remind me of what you find in masculine-based spiritual teachings that talk about transcendence, no mind, all freedom. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Again, Diane, understand truthfully, I'm not being judgmental or critical or attacking you or anything else. I'm just shining the light of truth on these things through my biased eyes. Bear with the language. That's pure mind machine buzzword. I know that there are certain things physically, spiritually, emotionally, other kinds of things that are defined as feminine and masculine, and that's useful or whatever, but the truth is the truth with a capital T. It just is what it is. If you remember, the ultimate freedom teachings are not some philosophy. They're not some theory. They're what you can actually observe if you see what's actually going on and you get into a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with what's actually appearing primarily in inner space, since that's where most of the big problems are, so to speak, as we perceive them. But observing that a thought is a picture, a voice, or whatever isn't feminine or masculine. It's just what it is. Experiencing that emotions are movements of energy with unique characteristics, and then they get bonded with a story and a name. It's not feminine or masculine. It just is what it is. You can observe that as being true. My style as a communicator, being a man, or perhaps the energy dynamics of how I express myself might be considered masculine according to a certain definition. But again, to me, and I mean no disrespect, this is just more mind machine buzzword noise. In the Diane mind machine is a definition of masculine, a definition of feminine, a breakout of certain teachings that are considered masculine, that are considered feminine, and the mind machine, as it is analyzing what it just discovered in the videos, in the experience, is breaking things into, it's opening up file folders and cross-referencing and doing all this kind of stuff that I talked about that it does, and it's kicking out, this is masculine. And it reminds me of what you find in these teachings that talk about these kinds of things. But it's story, it's made up, it's buzzword, it's mind noise, it's mind games, it's output of a machine. It isn't what Diane thinks, it doesn't remind Diane of anything. This is just pure buzzword of a machine that's analyzing, again, what is this, what does this mean, how should I respond? The what is this and what does this mean questions are being answered by what's in the Diane database and how the mind machine has been dealing with a lot of this stuff, and this is what's being kicked out here in this share. Pure idea and concept, no experience to be found here anywhere, just an analysis. Skimming, dancing with ideas and concepts, heavily influenced by the way the mind machine was built and how its algorithms and programs and the way that it answers its questions are running. Again, no disrespect intended. I'm just observing what I'm seeing here through my biased eyes with also intimate experience of what a lot of these things are like. Even though they don't seem that way, it seems like, no, this is my opinion. No, this is what I think. No, there really are masculine or feminine things, whatever. I'm just saying that because you used that example. I could be saying that about anything, any story about anything. To support ultimate freedom awakening. Okay, continuing. They are geared more towards being in the subtle and divorcing oneself from the gross. Again, I'm going to stop there and I'm going to say that is a buzzword. Analytical conclusion kicked out by the mind machine. To me, it's not accurate. It isn't what I said in the teachings. It isn't what's being experienced in the Robert story. It isn't what's being experienced in the stories of other characters in which ultimate freedom is awakening or has awakened. It's just a pure buzzword mind machine analytical output skimming along ideas and concepts with no experience at all, just thinking about it. When these things are really experienced, it's not being in the subtle and divorcing oneself from the gross. It's being totally immersed, lack of a better term, in the subtle, being totally immersed in the gross, but being in a truthful relationship with a capital T with all of it. That's what this is all about. Continuing, what feels off about that to me is the feminine component, the body, the chaos, etc. The melding of these two energies, that's part of what being here on Earth means, part of the joy of it. I'm going to stop there. Once again, Diane, this is buzzword output of the mind machine. And it isn't what feels off about it to you. It's what the mind machine is kicking into inner space because it has been programmed and built with this masculine, feminine, masculine's defined this way, feminine's defined that way. So when the mind machine looks at things and goes through its questions and buzzes words, it sorts things into masculine and feminine and all the things that come along with those definitions and accepts or rejects or whatever it is. But this is all, again, pure mind noise, mind dance, dance of ideas and concepts. None of this appears when you're actually experiencing. When you're actually in a truthful relationship with thoughts, feelings, and sensations, there's nothing that appears about anything being feminine or masculine. It just is what it is. Or if there's still an application of, well, this is more feminine, this is more masculine, then there's awareness of it being a story. No different than if you were reading a novel and on page 256, da-da-da-da happens and one of the characters says to the other, wow, that seems like a much more feminine way of responding, John, than the way that you normally responded in the past. And you're reading and saying, oh, all right, there's a character in a story that thinks that John's response is more feminine. Okay, fine, turn the page. I wonder what's going to happen in the story. But again, pure mind noise, pure idea concept, no experience of anything here, just pure output of the mind machine, buzzing and whirring, running its questions, interpreting, so to speak, everything that it discovered in the videos through its filters and its rose-colored glasses or whatever you want to call it of what's in the mind machine, and that's what's being shared here. This is just a dump of the mind machine's opinions, purely idea and concept about what it discovered watching the videos. Continuing, it's like City of Angels. When the little girl dies at the beginning of the film and is asked what she'll miss, she replies with bicycling down a hill. She's told she can still do it, but she says that it's not the same without being able to feel the wind in her face. Well, I'm a little confused by that, Diane, because my memory is she said that what she liked best was footy pajamas. And there was a discussion on the beach between Nicolas Cage and the Black Angel talking about wind on the face and another girl that wanted wings. And so my memory of it is a little bit different. But continuing, throughout the movie, we watch the main character wanting to feel. If we walk around in ultimate freedom, knowing that it's all characters, all a game that doesn't exist, where's the feeling in that? Again, Diane, that isn't what I said. In fact, I actually said the opposite, I believe. I may have said this somewhere else and not in the videos, but I'm pretty sure that I have said in the Phase 2 teachings and in the Ultimate Freedom teachings, I said something like this. If you're reading a novel and I mentioned this in an earlier answer to a question on this same audio. If you were reading a novel or watching a movie and you were constantly saying to yourself, this isn't real, this isn't happening, that character didn't really say that. Those aliens that just invaded the Earth aren't real. This is all just Hollywood. You wouldn't enjoy the movie. So as I mentioned before, there is an absolute knowing and certainty when you're watching a great movie, reading a great novel, that it's fiction and none of it's really happening, but that gets suspended and to allow you to enjoy the story and have all the thoughts, feelings, and sensations. But again, this is mind machine, intellectual, idea and concept, dance. It's not what the actual experience is. I know I'm being repetitive here, but this is all part of truth virus injections to my bias and perhaps supporting this pattern that's happening here cracking a little bit, breaking a little bit, because that's what this is. It's pure analysis. When you actually experience ultimate freedom, because this is what you said here, if we walk around in ultimate freedom, and by the way, Diane is never going to walk around in ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom can be awake in the Diane story, which means everything that's happening in the Diane story is being total immersion. Red is the best language I've come up with flawed language to describe this. But what you're basically saying in my language there is if ultimate freedom is awake, there's going to be no feeling in it. It's going to be boring. It's going to suck and whatever. And that's not the experience. There's lots of feeling in it, just like there is when you're reading a great novel, watching a great movie. Again, this is flawed and distorted buzzword coming from the mind machine that isn't accurate. All ideas and concepts, when you actually experience what I'm talking about, when you actually experience ultimate freedom, this is not what's there. It feels removed to me. I get that. But that's not what actually happens. This is just your analytical, the mind machine's buzzword output on this, but it's not the way it is. It's inaccurate, whatever word you want to use, and it's heavily influenced by what's in the Diane database and the fact that everything is being considered here at the idea and concept level with no experience in it. When there's experience of these things, and it'll be interesting to see if you come back at some point with that having shifted in the Diane story to come back and say, wow, Robert, I know exactly what you're talking about because I just da-da-da-da just happened and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Continuing, that's nothingness, which can feel like freedom, but where's the juice in it? Again, Diane, it's not nothingness. I know that there's a lot of stuff in spiritual teachings about nothingness and emptiness and flat line of emotion or no emotion or whatever, but that's not what the ultimate freedom teachings are about. And what I can tell you is there's massive juice in it. The actual experience is there's massive juice. And if I were to use judgmental language, I would say there's more juice in it when ultimate freedom is awake than when it wasn't versus the opposite. But none of this is true. It's the flawed and distorted buzzword of the mind machine that is being total immersion read, and you think it's your opinion and you think it's what you think, but it's just the buzzword of a machine that you're aware of. And again, massive juice in it when you're actually experiencing the truth of this. Continuing. Are we not playing a character because we want a feeling experience? The point of spiritual beings having a human experience is to have a human experience. Yes, I'm going to stop there. Yes. And that's what I've talked about in the teachings. If you look at what was actually shared, the whole point is to have unique thoughts, to have unique feelings, to have unique sensations, to have body kinds of things, to experience stuff through the senses about of what's in story space, sunsets, music, whatever. That's all about it. And when you total immersion read that, it's not flatter, which is what keeps coming out from your mind machine's Barrett the language analysis at the intellectual level. No experience of anything here again. Everything you're saying I agree with, and you're saying that this ultimate freedom thing is not that, and it is. On steroids. Anyway, interesting. Continuing. I'm left wondering if ultimate freedom is really disconnection in disguise. Again, buzzword of the mind machine. No, it's not. But there's some heavy programming somewhere in the Diane mind machine and some algorithms and programs that are taking a look at what's in the teachings and is, bear with the language, distorting and skewing them into something that they're not in the way that the mind machine is buzzing and whirring. Again, pure idea and concept. When you actually experience ultimate freedom, there's no disconnection at all. Again, in fact, couldn't be more opposite to that. Bear with the language here. The Robert character was so disconnected in phase one and in phase two, couldn't be more connected now. Couldn't have more enjoyment of, there's just as much of a variety in many ways of emotion. Again, some things that used to appear that don't. But again, if I want to use judgmental language, the Robert experience was, I don't know, don't take this too literally, but I'm just going to heavy-handedly make this comment just to hammer the big picture point I'm trying to make, was empty and flat and negative and painful and whatever. And everything has gotten so much more rich and enjoyable. But as I mentioned, I believe in the teachings I know I have in the archives. If you haven't already, you might want to download the audios in the archives, especially the ones this year in 2015, and listen to them, because I've talked about a lot of this in different ways repeatedly in response to different things people have brought up. Everything gets richer. Everything gets better. Everything gets more enjoyable. Everything gets more whatever, versus what your mind machine is buzzing and worrying and theorizing that it would be like from a purely idea and concept level. It's just, I see why a buzzwhir of a mind machine with particular programming could look at this and buzz and whir and say, disconnected, flat, no feeling. All I can tell you is, and until you actually experience this, nothing I say is probably going to make any difference. It's not what you're speculating on, theorizing on, thinking about what the mind machine is concluding here. Massive juice, couldn't be more connected, couldn't be more rich. So anyway, continuing, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thank you for sharing your teachings and answering the endless questions that arise. So I repeated myself a lot in this audio, so I don't need to in terms of concluding. I totally get where you are. I totally get how caught, so to speak, bear with the language, we can be at skimming along the idea and concept level of things and thinking that the conclusions are accurate and they're valid and they mean something and completely missing the fact that it's pure idea, concept, no experience. I get all of that. And when ultimate freedom begins to awaken, when there really is experience of it, experience with a capital E, when there's a truthful relationship with what's going on in inner space and story space, what you're speculating about here is not what happens. There's no trap here. There's no lack of juice. There's no emptiness. There's no flatness. There's no disconnect. It couldn't be more opposite to the kinds of things that you've expressed here. Okay, as I was getting ready to produce and upload this audio, another one came in from Sanjula. Again, forgive me, Sanjula, if I'm mispronouncing that. Here we go. Dear Robert, in case you pre-read the incoming questions, you can drop the first one. Sanjula was in storytelling mode, smiles. But through the process of writing yesterday, the question became clearer to this character, although you might have picked up on it and filtered it through the one yesterday also. Sorry for the confusion. This character was not really ready for asking questions yet, but with the three-month mark approaching, no pressure, but we'll close the doors in 3 days. Lots of laughs. Again, I'm stopping there. My bias is that the message actually says 10 days, you know, but maybe not. Maybe I'm missing a... And that's also to try to nudge people to make sure they download all the audio so that they have permanent access to them, whatever. And anyway, there's no confusion. There's no problem, Sanjula. I have absolute trust that anything that comes through this portal of the support forum here is useful and supportive, and True Creative Essence shaped itself into it intentionally. No problems, no mistakes, no errors. Okay, continuing. You say your teaching is not a concept but the truth with capital T, something described to a mind machine that has not been seen slash experienced by it will always stay a concept slash metaphor, how to word it to it, until it has been experienced. No? I'll stop there. Yes, that's correct. And this gets back to what I said in the archives as well as in the previous one with Diane. Yes, as long as the mind machine is buzzing and worrying on anything, but in this case, we'll talk about the ultimate freedom teachings, purely speculating, purely analytical, purely intellectual, purely buzzwhir on ideas and concepts only, without any experiences with a capital E of the truth, then nothing's going to change. There'll just be an endless loop of buzzwhir output, and with the output being distorted and nothing much changing. Continuing, so you say to see experience for yourself. That's the opportunity that true creative essence can shape itself into on the ultimate freedom journey, is that true creative essence, in a sense, And it's funny because I'm writing some new things now to go with my new website. And something that I wrote and that I talked about that appeared in Inner Space that I never talked about before, that I remember anyway, is there's at the story level, there are lots of people that have mentors and coaches and teachers and people that influence them. And it's people that taught them something, modeled something, helped them, whatever. And they had a character in story space that acted as mentor, teacher, guide, helper, whatever. And the thing that's so interesting is that while there were characters that had significant influence on the Robert character and story and journey, I feel like saying, if you look at what actually happened, particularly what was narrated in my story on day three, the way it appeared in the Robert story, it's what I'm now calling an inner mentor, an inner coach. And it was my bias, true creative essence, in inner space, appearing in inner space, acting in inner space as a mentor, a guide, a coach, a teacher, whatever, to the Robert character, bear with the language. And that's how so many of these things happen. So that's my bias, is that it was like true creative essence was appearing in inner space and saying to Robert, look, look what's actually happening. Look at what a thought actually is. Look at what emotions really are. Look at the pure raw experience in the story. And I was shown these things. Bear with the language, please. Until I actually saw them and then was able to see them in the heat of the moment when crazy things were happening in life, so to speak, and all the other kinds of things I've narrated about. And so, yeah. But it's true creative essence that showed me. It's not that I, Robert, saw. Again, the language is tough here. We have to talk about it as if the Robert character saw or Sanjula saw. But yes, that's the opportunity on the ultimate freedom journey, is that true creative essence will shape itself into seeing with a capital S and experiencing with a capital E the truth about who you really are, what's really going on, and everything about that that's shared in the Ultimate Freedom teachings. Continuing, my question is how to know if the interpretation of an experience slash seeing slash feel slash feeling through the mind machine is really the truth. Sanjula, there's no real way I can answer that except to just say you'll know. With a capital K. There'll just be absolute certainty of it. Now, I could embellish that by saying things like, but none of this is completely accurate, but it's in the ballpark kind of a thing. To me, my bias, and bear with the language as always, when an output of the mind machine appears in inner space, when a character appears in inner space sharing its opinion about something, which is still the mind machine, but it appears differently, because it appears to be a person, so to speak, an individual character running around in inner space sharing its opinion versus just a thought, you know, or whatever. If I were to look at how that feels, the language that I used to use, and it's judgmental, so I don't use it anymore, but you'll know what I mean. It's messy. It's judgmental. It's highly charged with judgment and polarity and such. It's quicksandy, you know, whatever. I could use words like that. And when it's the truth, or if you want to say the voice of true creative essence, whatever, it feels different. And the language I used to use was clean versus messy, pure versus congested and tinged with judgment and charge. You know, it feels different. It's something like that, but there's no way that I can give you what's happening here, and it's ironic that the mind machine is asking for a rule to deal with itself. But again, a lot of this gets quite hilarious. Your question is, the mind machine seeking data and a rule that it can apply in the future when it's observing what's appearing in inner space so that it can have a rule of, oh, if da-da-da-da-da-da appears, then it's mind machine, and if da-da-da-da-da-da appears, then it's truth. And it's looking for a rule to be able to answer its questions with in the future to be able to filter. And the mind machine can't do that, is never going to be able to do that, and there isn't any need to do that, because when there's an experience of truth, again, you may have an experience of it appearing to be more clean and pure like I talked about, but whether you do or you don't, there's just a knowing. There's just a knowing with a capital K. There's just what's there as absolute certainty. This is the truth. For example, when this inner mentor that I just talked about, you know, started to share in inner space, you know, look at what's actually going on in your mind, Robert, that's driving you crazy. What's actually happening? And I began to see that it was just a voice talking, or it was a voice talking that was a character of a psychologist, as I talked about, or a hurt little boy wanting love from his mommy, all these kinds of... When I was able to see that that's exactly what it was just a voice saying da-da-da-da in inner space. It was just this psychologist, you know, expressing its opinion. It was just this hurt little boy, you know, whatever. When I saw that that's what was going on and that it was being total immersion read, it wasn't me, I just knew that was true because that was the experience, you know. It's like if you remember the City of Angels movie, if you've seen it, there's a scene, and this isn't perfect, but it's still kind of pointing at this thing. It's just another crutch until you actually experience it. There's a scene where the Nicolas Cage character, who is an angel, asks the Meg Ryan character, the human, to give him her hand. And she extends her hand, and he takes his finger, and he runs it along her palm of her hand, and maybe up her wrist, I don't remember, and then says, "What am I doing?" And she says, "I'm touching you." And he says, "How do you know?" And she says, "Because I can feel it." You know, she's having an experience of being touched. She knows that's what's happening. Now, from a phase one, whatever perspective, somebody could argue with that and mess with that and take it off into a distorted place. But basically, she's in the moment having the experience of her hand being touched, and she knows that's what's happening. That's the truth of the moment, her hand's being touched. It's something like that. You just know. You just know. And it may feel different. It may have unique characteristics that appear to be more pure, clean, or whatever, lack of judgment in it, whatever. But you just know. It's just there's certainty there. And I can't really give you anything else. I can't give you a rule, which is what the mind machine is seeking. There isn't one. The mind machine can't do this. It's another interesting example of how the mind machine works. And verification, if you will, of the accuracy of what I shared about these three questions being asked whenever things are being observed, and the mind machine wanting to have rules and formulas so that in the future the buzz and word doesn't have to be fresh and new every time. It can just be, oh, I know what that is, and then know what to do to answer the third question, which is ultimately what your question's looking for. You just know. And this isn't just that happened for Robert. My bias is this is what's happened in every story that Ultimate Freedom is Awakening, where there have been experiences of truth, even if they were blippy on the road to being consistent. It's also something that you see happening in other stories about journeys into truth that have nothing to do with Ultimate Freedom or the Robert character. There's just a knowing with a capital K that goes beyond anything else. Continuing. When this character dropped into nothingness and coming out of it again, it could have been the experience of the field slash the emptiness we are coming from, or it could as well just have been a physical slash nervous breakdown or dropping into one of the bardos the Tibetan talk about, or just a written experience in a story or dot, dot, dot. Again, Sanjula, like I said to Diane, this is the mind machine buzzing and worrying and kicking out all this stuff about stuff that it's learned somewhere, you know? All that time that you spent in India and all the time you spent with masters and all the time you spent studying other stuff, it all went into the mind machine. And anytime these kinds of things were looked at, it influenced the way the mind machine kicked out stuff. So you learned about nothingness, and you learned about emptiness, and you learned about the field, maybe from the Robert teachings, or maybe from reading the book, or quantum physics, or whatever. But so all these things are coming in, and the mind machine is trying to answer, you know, what the hell happened to me? What the hell is happening to me now, or whatever? And it's buzzing and worrying exactly in the way that I described. It's searching its database, and it's coming up with stuff like the field, emptiness, breakdown, bardos, you know, whatever, trying to answer its questions and then come to the final conclusion of the final question, which is, okay, well, what do I do based on what this means? And that's all that's going on here. It'll take care of itself as true creative essence continues to shape itself into this journey. Again, Sanjula, I don't know when you enrolled in the Ultimate Freedom experience, but I don't believe it was very long ago, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 weeks, something like, well, I guess if you're saying the three-month mark approaching, so it was 3 months ago. So look at all the stuff that's happened in this Angela story, however old you are. Look at all these things. 3 months ago, you had these major drops in the pond of this Angela story in the form of Ultimate Freedom teachings. And again, it could, in an instant, you could have gone through the videos and instantly been changed and Ultimate Freedom instantly awakened and could have happened. But what tends to happen, as I narrated, is that the journey unfolds over time with twists and turns and confusion and look going back through these kinds of things that are in the mind machine that you talked about here, bardos and emptiness and nothingness. Again, as I said to Diane, my experience is not of nothingness every day. My experience is not of emptiness every day. I have had experiences. There have been appearances in inner space, so to speak, that I could describe that way if I was going to try to describe it, but that's not what Ultimate Freedom is like, and it's not what the day-to-day experience of the Robert in the Robert's character story is. I'm aware of those kinds of things being mentioned in other spiritual teachings, current and modern, modern and ancient. And I'm aware of many things, not everything, of course. I have not spent a lot of time studying, let's call it ancient religions and ancient philosophies coming out of, you know, the Far East or whatever. But I know enough about these kinds of things that I know it. But a lot of that to me is ideas and concepts, and it's accurate in a sense. I think in the experience we talked about deep sleep, which is what appears to be total blackout to us when we're sleeping at night. There's no dreaming. There's no anything. It's just complete blackout, and it's like you disappeared and then reappeared again. To my bias, and it's just my bias, that is true creative essence not shaping itself into anything. The book of the story of Sanjula's life, in your case, being closed and nothing appearing. So it appears, you could say, true creative essence at rest. Whatever else, and to my bias, that's what the emptiness is, that's what the nothingness is. It's when true creative essence isn't shaping itself into anything, and even that's distorted. There's no way, as I've said, that we can ever understand intellectually what true creative essence's experience is of anything. But my bias is that's emptiness and that's nothingness. Blackout, deep sleep, true creative essence at rest. If you go back to the field in quantum physics, it's the field with no intention being focused on pure raw potential. But that has nothing to do in any practical sense to me with living day to day with Ultimate Freedom awake, or truth with a capital T as it relates to living day to day, which is what Ultimate Freedom, the experience, is all about. Let's see here. Okay, although there is an experience of a current of energy slash manifestations moving through this character's life, which are not mind or self-directed, but from somewhere else, this mind would not have come to the conclusion that everything up to each breath is pre-written. Not getting the same results with setting intentions, etc., could be because it's a pre-written story, or it could be because of unconscious beliefs running itself out, sabotaging, and there is something to learn. Or, again, I'm going to stop there, Sanjula. That is the mind machine buzzing and worrying and kicking out more stuff that it learned. It's really, to me, such a perfect, brilliant, and accurate example of how the mind machine works and the way that I discussed it and such. It's just a dump of what the mind machine has learned, you know? Yes, unconscious beliefs, you learned that somewhere. Sabotaging, subconscious mind, all this stuff, you learned that somewhere. And so, in a way, just like Diane, but in a slightly different way, the mind machine is looking at these teachings, and it's buzzing and worrying, and it's trying to answer its questions based on what's in its database and its rules and formulas and algorithms and programs, and this kind of stuff is being kicked out. Again, it's part of the destabilization phase that I discussed, where the mind machine has been seriously messed with. It can't just buzz whir on autopilot and kick out the same stuff because it's been messed with too much by the truth virus and the Ultimate Freedom teachings. And so it's struggling to try to answer its questions, and it's unstable as it's doing that. Okay, continuing. There happens a feeling and an observation of something, but as soon as I put through my mind into words, it goes through an interpretation phase. How to know that anything is true if it comes as belief words through the mind? What if truth is so big and beyond everything this little limited mind machine can perceive? I'm going to stop there. That's absolutely correct. The truth is so big and beyond anything that the mind machine can perceive. When ultimate freedom is being experienced with a capital E, when there's a truthful relationship with a capital T to everything that's appearing in inner space and story space, that's an experience. That's not running through the mind machine and the mind machine understanding it or applying truth to it. The mind machine isn't involved there. It's just direct experience. And then there are times that the mind machine is buzzing and worrying and kicking something out, and the total immersion reader is reading it and is aware that that's just appeared in inner space, but there's a different relationship to it that, again, is very similar to the relationship of whatever's going on with the character, the hero, whatever, when you're reading a great novel. And again, you're coming back to how to know what's true. Again, I'll come back to the fact when it's truth with a capital T, you just know. You just know. And right now, you're trying to understand something you haven't experienced, in a sense, in advance. You're trying to figure out in advance of having it what it would be like. You're trying to speculate what it would be like. The mind machine is trying to come up with a rule, as I said. Give me a definition of truth. Give me a definition of not truth. Give me some data so that from now on, when I observe what's appearing, I can then sort into true, not true. And the mind machine is seeking a new rule in its unstable state that it can use to kick out a new opinion, ask and answer its questions, and ultimately get to how do I respond, the final one. And ultimately, that changes as the truth virus continues doing its work. Continuing at the time, same time, it also could be totally simple and just like a pre-written story, but how can this specific little mind machine of the character Sanjula ever know? Again, it can't. This is not about the mind machine learning something new. You can never, this is not a perfect metaphor, but it's appearing. I don't think I've ever used it before, but it's useful, my bias. If you've got a Mac or a PC, notebook or desktop computer in front of you, there's no way you can ever have that computer know what the taste of an orange is. You could go to the computer somewhere and type in, well, you know, like if you remember again, if you saw City of Angels where he asks her to describe the taste of a pear, like Hemingway would, you know. You could type into a computer, here's what an orange tastes like to me, and the computer could have the data, spicy, tangy, you know, whatever, but you can't give the computer the experience of tasting an orange, but you can taste an orange and know that you're having the experience of tasting an orange, and you know what the experience is. When you taste an orange, and let's say you enjoy it, or you taste anything and you enjoy it, you don't spend a lot of time trying to analyze it or describe it. You just have the experience. You just have the experience of whatever it is that eating an orange or whatever it is that you love, quote-unquote, tastes like to you. And truth is a similar thing. You just have the experience, and you know what it is, and the mind machine isn't involved. It doesn't need to buzz, whir, and tell you this is truth, this isn't. You just know. And I can't give you anything else. But when there's the actual experience of it, which is not nothingness and emptiness, it's a truthful with a capital T relationship to many, many things that are appearing in inner space and story space, you'll know. That's all I can tell you. I used to call it, in my earlier writing, I think it was Invisible Path, 11th Element, I used to say, give me a knock me over the head so I can't miss it sign, you know, of what you want me to do in this situation. You know, unmistakable, you know, it's unmistakable when the truth is being experienced. Continuing. This does not matter if the pre-written story is true, but what if it is not? And the law of attraction, we are evolving, you become what you eat, processing your stuff makes a difference, would be true. Well, again, this is pure idea, concept, speculation. My bias is none of that's true, and that you can experience that none of that's true. And so this, again, is the mind machine speculating and buzzing and worrying and kicking out stuff it learned. And again, I will remind you that true creative essence can shape itself into anything. It can shape itself into the law of attraction being working. Although, again, I have never seen an example, and my prediction would be I never will, of a person Spirit, the language that every single time they used, applied the law of attraction to try to manifest a particular thing, every single time they manifested what they wanted. I'm not aware of that ever happening, and I don't think it ever will happen, but it could. We are evolving. True creative essence can shape itself into that appearing to be true in a story. You become what you eat. Processing your stuff makes a difference. True creative essence can make any of that true. That doesn't affect any of this. As I said at the end, ultimate freedom is not about content. It's not about the specifics of what's appearing in inner space or story space. It's about how the content, whatever it is experienced with a capital E and perceived with a capital P. But again, this is just more mind machine noise. In the Sanjula database is law of attraction is an accurate description of the way the world works. Evolving is an accurate description or could be. You become what you eat, processing all this stuff that you've learned on your journey. Massive stuff put into the mind machine based on what you said about your unique journey. And the mind machine is going through all of this, trying to recalibrate everything and cross-file and cross-reference and everything in this unstable phase, the destabilization of the mind machine phase. Continuing. The mind somehow understands that it is not the mind that will know, and it doesn't understand. I understand. I get that. I've been there. Continuing. One of our masters said it is all about liberating the mind. We are anyway free already. Well, I have a bias here, and it's just my bias, so whatever. When I heard stuff like that, and when I look at stuff like that, to me, and yes, it's judgmental, but to me, it's gobbledygook. But the way I'm built, as you know, I'm built to take things literally, and so I look at liberating the mind, and I say, ultimate freedom, is that the mind somehow being liberated? No. I would say, as I've talked about, if you want to describe what happens, it's the mind being reprogrammed, rebuilt, and assigned and given a new job. And the new job includes not intruding as much, so to speak, not buzzing and worrying on everything. When it buzzes and whirs, the output's being different. You know, that's how I'd language it. So to me, it's not about liberating the mind, but there's a lot of stuff with spiritual teachers, and there are a lot of things that I've read where there have been spiritual teachers who somebody jumped all over them and said, you're really inconsistent, you know that? Last Wednesday, so-and-so asked you this, and you said da-da-da-da, and then yesterday somebody asked you a similar question, and you gave them a different answer, and then this morning I asked you, and you gave me a different answer, and the spiritual teacher would say, you know, that the answers are all given in order to support the specific asker, and so I will say different things in order to support, and there are things like, I mean, it's all very complicated, and also, my bias, and it's just my bias, I think I narrated this in an audio somewhere, I had an interesting insight about 6 months ago, that we all spend so much time, or many people do, studying the teachings of Jesus and Buddha and all these other masters, and I had this insight that I'd never thought about, but I started to think about because I was doing all these talks in other countries that had to be translated, and I realized Jesus didn't speak English. Buddha didn't speak English. A lot of the Indian masters, just to use that example, don't speak English, and so they said something, and then somebody translated it into English. And so what a master may have actually said got translated into liberating the mind, to go back to your example. And that isn't what they meant at all. But it just couldn't be translated any other way, you know. And so who knows? But anyway, to me, it's not all about liberating the mind. Again, to me, it's about reprogramming the mind, if you want to call it that, and reassigning it, giving it a new job. And total immersion reading, awakening, and blah, blah, blah. But as it relates to the mind, it would be to me the truth virus, exactly as I narrated it, reprogramming it, deleting files, adding new files, modifying programs and algorithms, reprogramming it, rebuilding it, and giving it a new job. But that's just my bias. Continuing. But to end with Byron Katie's question, can you really, really, really know that this is true? Which always brings you out of the mind and into pure, raw experience. Again, I don't know that much about Byron Katie, but I just, to me, can you really, really know that this is true? In my language, I would reword that to be, can you really know if this is an accurate description of what's really happening or if it's a story? And if you answer the question with, no, it's a story, whatever, that doesn't take you into pure raw experience. Pure raw experience is a voice appeared in inner space and said, da 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 da. When you're reading a novel, you don't care about whether what the character is saying is true or not or accurate or not. You just accept it as part of the story. You turn the page, the story. So anyway, a different thing to my bias and with my being built to take things literally. And again, the Sanjula character, like so many people on the spiritual path, on the truth path, whatever you want to call it, they've studied so many things, so many books, so many workshops, so many audios, so many videos, so many masters that said things in some cases, so many this, so many that, and the mind machine is so filled with all this stuff, and then when it tries to answer its questions and buzzes and whirs, we're off to the races with all kinds of fascinating opportunities for phase one, phase two, and ultimately phase three kinds of experiences, and this is something that's coming through here. And you narrated your journey, so you kind of told us, I went through all these things, and in my language, you went through all those things, and your mind machine was built and programmed, and its database was filled with things that drove the Sanjula's character's life for a long time. Same thing with Diane. And now that's being messed with, and it's a journey, and huge drops have been dropped into the pond, and they're rippling, and the truth virus is working, but it hasn't completed its work yet, and all of this will take care of itself over time. Again, the Robert character did not get hit by lightning on a Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and at 4:01, ultimate freedom was being experienced. It's not a rule or a formula, but again, in the Robert story, it could have been anything, but it appeared over 3 years with a lot of, let's call it craziness in inner space, craziness in story space, as slowly but surely the inner mentor, true creative essence, showed with a capital S what the truth was, awakened the total, bear with all this language, awakened the total immersion reader, entered into a truthful capital T relationship, started to appear with everything that was appearing in inner space and story space, but it unfolded over 3 years, and there were 7 years before that of using the Busting Loose Phase 2 tools and model that started to knock out cloud cover. And so it was a 10-year journey. You know, it could have been a 50-year journey. It could have been an 80-year journey. It could have been a 2-month journey. Doesn't matter. But again, you're new to this. You're 3 months to this with having had a whole lifetime of other things being the truth. And so, of course, in what I call the destabilization phase of the truth virus doing its work, these are the kinds of things that happen. And when you say ARG, you know, A-A-A-A-R-R-R-G-G-G-H-H-H, and what's underneath that is I'm so confused and maybe I'm so frustrated and I don't know what to think anymore, blah, blah, blah. What that is, which I talked about, feeling confused, whatever, all that is the fact that the mind machine cannot answer its three questions with the same kind of certainty and ease that it did. And that's what's happening. Stuff's happening in the Sanjula story, and the mind machine's buzzing and whirring, trying to answer its three questions, and it's considering all these other philosophies that were learned, and it's what I call incubating on all this new stuff that's been introduced through the ultimate freedom, and it's trying to reconcile it all and put it in file folders and cross-reference it and index it and cobble it all together into a new way of being, a new philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And it's having trouble with that. And so that's what you're experiencing as ARG, or ah, you know, whatever that's trying to say. And again, it's common. It happened in the Robert story. It happens in most stories. It doesn't have to, but it tends to. It passes. It ultimately becomes delicious when you look back on it and you can remember, oh man, I remember when I was so confused and so angry and so fried and I just didn't even know what to think about anything and I just, you know, whatever. And now look where you know, what's happening in the story. I mean, and it's, okay. Okay, that completes everything that came in this week. So I will now produce and upload and announce this as I normally do. It's a Friday morning. So thanks to everybody who participated this week. Thanks to everybody who's listening. This is always so much fun for me at the story level to do these, and I appreciate the opportunity to be playing in this way, interacting in this way. And on that note, I'll say bye-bye for now. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye for now.